I don't go rather fair quick, fair proposition. You know, see, they have the authority. If to control a fire, come to your fence and no way to get to a fire, why, he has authority to cut it and go on in.
Yeah.
But somebody ought to be responsible to share that cost. Trouble, there's very much of it.
And you know, that big truck they have, it takes a good place for that to get sued.
Sure. Well, you see, maybe the fire's not on your property, it's not doing you and not going to do you any harm. And if he comes through here and you a disinterested party, nothing concerning you about the fire, why, the man that let the fire get away or whatever he did do, ought to be ready and willing or made to share the damages.
You know, they...
To get to his place to save his property.
Mm-hmm. They got an airplane that shows them where to go now.
Have.
Yeah, they got that little airplane sails around there, and they, of course, they can talk back and forth.
Things are very handy. Now, you heard about the big, that awful wreck they had making over Junction.
Yeah.
I didn't read the paper or nothing, and didn't know anything about it until it was all over, but that's awful.
Yeah.
That was perfectly awful. I didn't know what to think about it. But, it's a pity that them people hadn't had some notice there. It can either be lowered too much or it can be raised too much. And the man just looked at kind of a high place in the road when he's off yonder and don't see the rail or nothing. And he doesn't cut speed because he thinks he's going to climb a hill maybe.
Yeah.
Until he gets to it and see over. If his road is perfectly level, it makes some difference. He might speed up if he looks like he's going to run up on a hill and give it more power.
Yeah.
More fuel. And so, he might have a truck. I was going along pretty good speed, and I didn't think of such a thing. There's a few roots in the ruts of the road.
Yeah.
And I was running along pretty lively little speed, and lo me, that some corner or another, the roots got the thing to going like that, and it bounced out of the rut and struck a stump, small stump about this large around, I reckon, right in the edge of the wheel rut. Had a wreck, it didn't amount to nothing, just injured the truck some. It didn't hurt me no way, but nobody with me. I would have thought it would have jumped clear out of the rut, but it did do it.
Hmm.
Struck a stump.
Yeah.
No steering gear.
Yeah. Them Model A's didn't steer quite as easy as these cars now, you know. It took a little more power to hold them in the road, didn't it?
Yes. Yes, sir.
You had to have a hold of that wheel.
They hardly consider to be an automobile this day and time.
Why, no. No.
You take that steering gear and the whole shebang, why, wooden spokes, wheels,
if you put your mind to it, you know, you could sort of keep them going yourself. You didn't need to take them in anywhere.
That's right. They were hurt in the wintertime, but it's a good sun had in the summer.
Yeah.
Broad, nothing kind of shade.
Yeah. I wear them old helmets. That's the kind of hat I like. Or one like you wear. That's the kind. I never did catch these. Most people like these.
I saw it's too frail, and see they'd have been run a wire around in the rim.
Oh, yeah.
Something else, it had been a bamboo vine.
Yeah.
It, whatever. Maybe held it out straight, but that wire just crimped and brim is never straight.
Mr. Boyd, I run across one of your neighbors last summer, along in the hay season, up here, just up the road here, towards the River Styx, past the River Styx. You knew Mr. Guthrie up there.
My son.
And this Miss Guthrie, and then the boy that lives there, his name is Marvin.
Marvin Townsend.
Marvin Townsend, yes.
I knew the whole family then, you know.
Yeah.
Several boys, even his wife, and maybe a girl or two.
Yeah. Well, you know, I never met him. He's, when I'd passed there, I guess he wasn't in too good a health there the last year or so.
Been about 7 or 8 years at it. 6 or 7 years he didn't hardly get out of the house.
Yeah. Well, you see, I've been down here about that length of time, so I never did run into him.
You see, I knew just about everybody that was around here. That old man Bill Turner, you see, there's a family Turners. And their father and mother of them lived right about in this direction from here.
Yeah.
Over there, right alongside of that swamp they call River Styx that comes in from up to George Rochelle. And water comes south from Thames Prairie and coming on down through that River Styx and crosses it under the railroad and goes on into Orange Lake. That's across it with the here on the public road the same way. But old man Bill Turner, that is one of the brothers, he lived on the left-hand side of the railroad going here to Rochelle. Between here and Rochelle. And then the old Turner place is on, but he was on the right-hand side of the River Styx run, and the old Turner place is on the left-hand side coming on down this way, and Sam Turner went over on the right-hand side across the railroad track, built his home over there. Jim Turner was over here right close to where Guthrie lived. There's another Turner, there's a brother.
Yeah.
He lived right there, and they owned a farm, though, further on down there on that Cross Creek bridge line. Next to Loch Lucy Lake. Now that's taking care of the Turners, except the old folks, the old man, the old father of them all, and mother, I didn't ever see them.
Oh.
But I got acquainted with all of them and their children.
I don't believe I run into any of the Turners.
See, that was the older set. Well, now then, there's your Townsend, and there's a man to come in here by the name of, Denning that lived over there near the Pauling settlement. Old man Fairbanks and Tom Johnson, Julius Johnson, and a whole bunch of niggers. And then there's kind of a missing streak there going towards Hawthorne, right through the woods over there on the little dirt road. And so there's a little sawmill used to be on the road, just went right by that, making the near cut. But you can go around, cross Creek, that's a Prairie Creek or whatever you call it, and come, but it's further, and go around by Loch Lucy Station and into Hawthorne. The old man Sal Pauling lives up there in the woods and going a little ways up in a big field there from where those others live, but they live close alongside the road, and there used to be a place down there that named the name of Denton. You see some Denton here in Micanopy?
Yes.
around in this country, but there was no relation.
Oh, yeah.
But this young Dr. Denton that got acquainted with John Z. Denton. And John Z. Denton and Baron Denton and all them there were kinfolk. But that young Dr. Denton wasn't any kin to him. They struck up with him and he kept on and he come down here and must have took John V. Denton's wife away from him.
Oh.
I think it's what I understood.
Huh.
And John V. Denton had a place down on it. He built that road coming out from over in that way, part of it, good either John V. Denton did. I don't know where he was, county commissioner or what, but I think he was on the county board some way.
Uh-huh.
Got roads out to Micanopy Junction. And so.
Well, now your road here hadn't been paved too long when I come out here.
No, sir. It's been about 7 or 8 years ago. About 7 years, I don't know.
Well?
About 8 years. It's been about 7 years.
Well, it stopped on a little down here. And now, then they carried it on. They just extended some of it just the last year or two, Mr. Boyd. Where was that?
Extended some of this road?
Yeah.
I don't know where. They went all the way through this before they ceased to work on it, I think.
Oh, did they?
It connected with that road, you see, there's a road running about, and that angle's sitting here, going up there, what they call Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
Station.
Yeah.
Each year, Greer put a big sawmill there and bought all that timber that was over all that property over there. His Pfeiffer owned and run a mill there for I don't know how many years.
Yeah.
And had a little old tram track to come out and haul it in there. And they finally built, paved that road going down from Turnitin to that Pfeiffer station.
Uh-huh.
And Ked went down across the street. They did a whole lot of road on the other side across the creek around where that settlement since that. And then they built this here about 6-7 years ago. Just to connect it with that road there, just the other side of Guthrie.
Yeah. Miss Guthrie had a picture, a photograph of Mr. Guthrie, and she had it reworked and enlarged or something. Very nice. He was, I don't know what age he was when the photograph was taken, but he was much younger. And he'd riding a horse.
Certainly.
And he looked like an old cattleman in that photograph.
Certainly.
Now, did he raise right smarty cattle?
Yes, he raised all he had. Practically. Up till a few years ago. And he didn't have much anything but just common cattle.
Yeah.
Range cattle.
Yeah.
And he didn't spend much on them either till up till a few years ago.
Yeah.
And he didn't buy no feed in the winter if they died.
Yeah.
He told several people right flat footed that he'd rather take the loss than have to buy feed.
Yeah.
Change from that beef went up, you know.
Yeah.
He killed a beef cat up there, and that mill was there, and a lot of people laboring around there, and peddled it out around to the settlement, and get his money that way out of his cattle. The biggest part of it.
Uh-huh.
Had hogs too, you know. That's just a pickup. Sell a whole lot too, and they just roam the whole country. They had access to the whole country.
Yeah.
As far as they wanted to range.
Uh huh.
Used to, he had to give them a right smart trouble here by going down the railroad over there, going to Evanston, and the man H.D. Wood down there let him run a fence down there and put a cattle gap just the other side of that bridge. Across River Styx, they'd come across. They got across. Get dry, they'd weed across.
Yes, when it gets dry, there's not much you can do about it.
Yes. He really has to ride after them quite a bit. That's big woods, he told me.
Yes.
$5 ticket. You know, it was cheap.
Yeah.
But no high rent.
Yeah.
I expect maybe it wasn't $1 an acre a year.
Yeah.
And he done a lot of work. Him and that townsman boy helping to get the fence, everything up around it.
Uh-huh.
So done maybe the most of it. And when he got through with it, why, container people leased it to him. One big lease, I read.
Uh-huh. Well, he might have made some money out of that.
Well, I imagine he did. He didn't have so much cattle to start with, but he could have increased it quick enough. He already had some money, and he did have it long enough to accumulate some money out of it.
Mister,
he'd pick up now, but they kind of boogery about it, and these Gussies ought to make it like that. They haven't got no capital to operate on much. I don't know if they take a word for it or not, but I don't think it's altogether true. She seems like she don't want nobody to think they got $1 ahead. But she's been spending pretty free since he died, and he opened the gap for her to get her hands on it like she wanted. Her and that fellow, I'm satisfied. I don't know too much about it. They spent quite a bit unnecessary, I reckon.
Well, let me tell you, Mr. Boyd.
You know how a woman is.
Yeah.
She can run that business into the ground pretty soon.
Yeah.
It's a pretty stable business.
Yeah.
A good manager.
Mr.
His girlfriend.
Yes. Now, Miss, and you know what? They could have set up in business for all the hay they're going to make. Down there at Old Callan, that man would have stood behind the equipment for $750, because I found it out, Mr.
See what I told you? She just jumped right in and told me, I mean, that's the last time I was over there. I bought me a brand new mowing machine and said, if I ever pay, the way she spoke, says, if I ever pay for it. And she bought a mowing machine and a rake.
She bought the...
She kind of went wild since Mr. Guthrie died. He had his hands closed.
Yeah.
On his...
He kept
his hands closed on his money.
Yeah.
He didn't turn her loose on it.
Yeah.
Now, I personally know that. And that's what's the matter when you see when his eyelids closed in death and the boy was there, kind of on a salary, pretend to be, and but he had a sink. He didn't have to worry himself. He didn't have to work very hard. He kind of have to go looking with him. He needed to get by, and he got support, board, laundry, cigarettes, a little money whenever he wanted. Up there, and she was fond of it, been fond of it ever since he come in there, and he was fond of her, I reckon, I don't know. So when Mr. Guthrie fagged out, she jumped in and spent quite a bunch of money to make a big show, because she used, hadn't been used to handling it so free. Now, I know what I'm talking about. Now, I look like I don't want to talk too much, but I'm sitting right there talking with him, and she has to come to him if she wants what she wanted. Somebody called over the phone, wanted to tell her, no, she wanted some fish, mullet fish. She had to come to him to get a dollar.
Yeah.
By the fish. And Marvin wanted to go to town, and I think they said they wanted a 24-pound sack of flour while I was there. He had to okay it and give him the money.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it goes. He didn't trust her to handle his money and into his business that way. But when he had a will made, though, so she said. That's what she said. A good many years before he died. And made everything to her. That's what she tells me. Mm-hmm. And they claim to have his son, Mr. Guthrie's son, is well fixed, well hooked up. And he begged Marvin to stay there and take care of Ms. Guthrie when the old man died. So that just threw the gap down to them to run this business like they long wanted to do. 8 years he was there just like an invalid. And they'd have to come in and talk him out of the money whenever they needed any for any business.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to do without they explained it thoroughly.
Yeah.
He's closest to bark on a tree, so. When they got relaxed from that while they went spinning, maybe they'll make good with it. I don't know.
Well, they bought that tractor, new tractor.
Look out now, brother. Don't you just let me whisper that in your ear. Don't have any dealers there, you better keep both eyes wide open. I don't care what kind it is. If you want to buy hay, if you want to use hay equipment. Now, you spoke about a man at Old Keller. Let me see, what is my man's name in games, but he runs the business there for the international harvesting people. Dan Jameson. You can rent a track, you buy a track, you buy any, and he knows book, he got paper, and he knows a mowing machine and such equipment as that. Better than any man in the county. I had trouble for ever so long. And when I got acquainted with him, he come here from Georgia, I think. And I can't call his name.
I know who you're talking about. I don't think he's there now.
May not be, but he's the head man of that International Harvesting.
Yeah.
That, down on Main Street.
Yeah,
way down,
it is.
You're about to where the old stock market used to be.
Mm-hmm.
He knows. He knows the mowing machine. There's people working there. But they look at the paper. He saw a piece. He carried the part you wanted there. He knew what kind of machine. That machine that I got out here on, I think that machine was made in 1907 was the first one ever come out, and he knew that right quick, and he knows how to give you parts that'll fit, what the number of your machine is, and everything the year it is made. And if you want to buy some equipment for international harvesting people, why, he can tell you just exactly what you're going to get and how to get it.
Well, now, that's what keeps a man in business when he's got somebody like that, you see.
Yes, sir. I didn't have no more trouble when I got acquainted with him. All I had to do was just tell him what the number of what machine I had. And he said, oh, well, he'd pick up the book and he'd find it pretty quick. That's new idea.
Yeah.
Daring machine. And one of the best machines, strongest machine. It's not out, no big size, it's like our average size machine, but it's made up substantial and strong. He was a good man and managed that for them a good long time. But he knows it. He worked for them long enough that he knew him apart on them on the mowing machine.
Yeah.
You take old housing. I got a housing right yonder for that same machine. Let's see, a number four Daring, first made 1904, I believe, or 1907. And new ideal Daring. Now, the housing there is all right. When they come in to put out this power-driven stuff, see, they drop back on that horse-drawn stuff, quit making so much parts, and manufacturing parts, and they had to keep all that up, you know, before.
Mm-hmm.
And the changed the model out of that, does away with it, a lot of it. Well, man, I could buy parts that they have them in stock now. It's not no one give them to you, I don't reckon, but they can remold them, I reckon. But they're not cost so much, and you take that housing. I broke one housing and got another one. And I look at the body, old man Trash had this bad. And I broke, my son broke mine. And he had that man. I asked him, what did he want for the machine? He said, Mr. Morgan, you want to buy that more machine? He said, if you want, he said, you can have it for $5. And I was right up against it. And I gave him the $5 for it. Could change words hardly and got me a good housing. And you can buy parts, or you could order them, and then as long as you know on the other end, too, what you want. And put that machine in shape, and it's a good, strong machine. It's built up stronger than a lot of the others. It operates fine.
I know what that is, Mr. Boyd. That's after we had a tractor there for the longest time. We still use that old mule-drawn mower.
That's right.
We just put a...
New ideal daring machine? Is what you had?
I'm almost sure it was. I'm almost sure it was. And all we did, you see, was just pull that behind the tractor.
That's right.
And... somebody had to sit on it and regulate it. At least it'd do better. You could do it yourself, but it did better, you know, if somebody was back there with you.
And that's Derry, and the other one was the International machine.
Yeah.
And
those things never wear out.
No.
They just last forever.
And, all this new equipment is taking the place, if they had a whole bunch of that stuff on hand, parts manufactured, molded, well, you see what'll happen. They got to just remold them.
Mm-hmm.
They got them in stock, and it's scattered so much all over the United States and other countries too. So that's a big concern, the International Harvest.
Oh, yeah.
And, and I could pick it up, what he needed, and you get a housing or framing all, and build it back. Why, it wouldn't cost you a half for it. Well, he used to buy a brand new mowing machine. I guess now it costs $300.
Oh yes, they're costly. Yes, sir. I think the way they do them now, Mr. Boyd,
these machines that you couldn't hardly break it. Struck anything that is a little bit hard by it'd break the wooden peg and that is run by gas.
Yeah.
And save the machine.
Yeah.
With these blades and
yeah.
Things like that. But
no offer.
$2,500.
Yeah.
In the whole equipment.
In the hay.
That's to just that boy had to talk her into it.
Well, now that's a lot of money, Mr. Boyd.
Yeah, for the kind of business they operate.
For their business, that's right. Now, let me tell you, I saw all the equipment down there. They could have got a rake and a baler. Both of them was remade in good shape for limited use, you understand?
That's right.
You wouldn't go out and do custom work. But all the hay they'd want to make for 10 years, they could have got all that equipment for $750. And he was a hay man, and the people there at Gainesville they bought from don't know any more about a hay rake and a hay baler and that little.
Well, you see that young man there, Marvin Townsend, he didn't want to live around there in no trouble or strain, and he knew he had the deadwood on her, and he just forced her to come call and buy that stuff. Persuaded her to do it. She didn't know anything about it. And he just persuaded her, and she made out to me she didn't have no money. And she talked like she bought the mowing machine, and she just didn't have the money to pay for it, so if I ever get it paid for, Normie put that in, and so she let that boy break away. Nobody else is hard luck.
Well, they both seem to be mighty nice people, and you hate to see them, but you know, nice people sometimes don't hold on to the money.
Well, everything that shines is not gold. I can say it just that way.
And every time they think they're making buying something that's going to help them, it may not turn out that way.
I think I ought not say it, but I feel like I know who I'm talking to. I got hay right there in the barn right now. And I just don't look like I don't want to mention it yet. I kind of feel like I'm cut to the bone. He told me he had plenty of hay, and I asked him, was it good hay? What kind of hay it was? He said it's good hay, and that good grass for half. And he wanted to sell me the hay. He said he'd sell it to him cheaper than anybody else. I got through with it by paying $32 a ton. And I don't know, they weigh so many bales and estimate it. All my bales seem to be mighty light. And I'll tell you what I happened to get into with it, though. They went out and they tracked it upland with the tractor to sow grass on and seed, and sowed the grass seed there. And it wasn't thoroughly cleaned up, the place wasn't, and it must have been pretty well eat up with these old prickly cactus.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they are.
Yeah, I know what they are.
And palmetto sprouted, they might have chopped them off, a lot of them sprouted up and come up, and they mowed all that stuff and raked them palmetto. I mean, that cactus up and built it up, and they brought it here at night. Made two loads and unloaded it in my barn. I gave them $32 a ton for it. And I don't know what kind of luck. I was almost afraid to feed it. The hay, the grass seemed to be pretty well, but it must have been quite a bit too old when they cut it. It had luck in saving it. And it would have been good hay if it had been cut on time. Also, I guess it's like things like that just worry me to death now. Well, what do you call this other grass? Looks like crab grass.
That pangola.
Pangola grass. That's what I was supposed to be buying. Pangola grass, and you know, it looks good.
Mm-hmm.
And it is good if you cut it on time, but you can let it, it's just like crab grass. Regular, that's a good hay. But you mustn't let it get too old.
Yeah.
All the foot till it's dry, the sun takes it out.
Yeah.
And over sun it, there gets a rain on it. Something like that. But yeah, I think he let that go about 2 weeks too long. And I ain't trying to run him in the ground. I reckon I ought not say what it is, but I'm trusting.
Well, I tell you, Mr.
Trusting you with it. I'm not going to say anything about it till I feed it up and see how I come out with it.
Well, let me tell you, I have. You know, you don't.
If a man like me will kind of give you the hint the right time beforehand.
Yes.
And not wait till you go spend your money and lose. Well, that's what they don't mind they going to do. They never got no good sense from man's advice about the hay deal. And he was just anxious to bowl with a big auger, and so was her. And they want to try that big auger now, and they're going to bowl with it.
Yeah.
And they've got the equipment. And if they don't do better than they did with me, there won't be many people that want hay from them directly.
Well, looky here, mister. This first season, when they got that new equipment, let me tell you.
I wish I'd had somebody that could have looked at my hay since I've been where I couldn't see. Every time before I bought it, I've been cheated, but I go on and say nothing. Because you're kind of beholden, you know. There's Williams and Lightner down there. Why, they'll pull your leg if there's any way to pull it. An idea?
Well, now you see, you've got two of the finest people in the whole community right there, and you can buy hay.
That's right.
You can buy hay from them that ain't nothing but fodder. It ain't nothing but straw.
That's right. They sing way about everything. It's kind of like it was about loading watermelons. I'd sit around a car down there working to put up a carload of watermelons for them till I get sick and disgusted dragging the feet and taking forever to do nothing. And then they let the hay get old and just cut it and put it in the barn and couldn't sell it to nobody for feeding purposes. They'd sell it to destroy the watermelon cars and get out somehow.
Yes.
Lazy, you know. And so on and so forth. And can't get up and attend to business when they ought to.
Well, they make some mighty good hay.
They ought to.
But I don't...
They've been in the business long enough, they ought to be equipped for it, and they ought to know what good hay is.
But my feeling is some of it I buy and not them good.
I got some of it, right, some of the hay right there in the house now. Well, there ain't nothing wrong with it, only it's just old.
Yeah.
It's too old when you cut it.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you now about your neighbors over here with that new equipment, Mr. Boyd. They had bought fertilizer, 8 or 10 tons of fertilizer on some new ground where they'd put Pangola, had the Pangola over there. And it kept, you know, we didn't, rainy season wasn't very wet this year. Long dry winter and spring. But it kept raining right along there when the Pangola was ready to come in.
That's right.
And it was a month or 6 weeks overdue whenever they got in there, Mr. Boyd. They couldn't get in there, you see. Now, what sort of hay was that? They made it.
Yes, that's good.
And if they didn't fertilize it so heavy, it is still standing up, you see.
That's right.
And I don't know, I'm no judge of hay. It might have had a little color left, and I don't know, it might have smelled a little like hay. I don't know. I'm no judge
of
that.
Well, I tell you, brother, if it's not handled right, it takes a pretty good one to tell. You got to be well experienced to tell what good hay is.
Yes.
It can be ruined and don't show it.
No.
You know, if it gets wet and you let plenty of sun come on it and bleach it, well, it looks clear and pretty, but might as well say the color of it and put it to your nose or something other. And if it's good hay, it'll have the proper odor to it.
Yeah.
And that's not all it'll have. It won't be bleached.
Yeah.
You can take corn fodder and pull it. And if you pull it in the morning, you have a good sun, you take it up in the evening. Don't let it stand all night, let the dew fall on it. And if you put it in the evening, all that you pull in the morning, you take it up in the evening. All that you pull in the evening, you take it up in the dew, dries in the morning.
Yeah.
If it's dry weather. But because it don't show to be bleached, but it's dry. What little moisture is in it, well, it kind of does good to stack it and let it go through that heat and distribute the flavor. When it goes through the heat, it just distributes it all through it, you know.
Yeah.
And you couldn't tell one lot from another. And it's not, but when it stays out and rains on it a little bit and sun keep blistering on it, right, just bleaches it. It looks just as clear and pretty and as dry and all, but it's done, all the nutriment is drawn out of it. Sun, dew. Even
well,
too much dew is not good for it. When it gets cured, it don't have a dew on it.
Yeah.
A heavy dew. A drop of rain is good for it after it's cured, just right.
Yeah.
Well, I've got nothing to do with their business, but I tell you, Mr. Myers, I don't want same dog to bite me twice. The same rattlesnake. If I get bit once, why, that's more than a plenty. And You don't have to say nothing to me. I got a feel of it then. One time's enough.
But boy, you got a new pump there.
Yeah.
Got a new shed on it.
Yeah. People has to be particular any way you do it.
Well, I hope they come out on that equipment.
I do, too. I don't wish
it. I'll tell you what, it kind of hurt me when I saw them go in for that brand new equipment.
The Bible says no man live alone, no man die alone. We'd be in a pretty bad fix if we, just me, you, either one of us were here, and nobody in a 10,000 miles of us.
Yes, sir. Wouldn't be much sad.
Yeah, you couldn't hardly thrive very much. So, you sometimes pay you to kind of bite your tongue and not be too quick to say anything about anybody.
I just hate them to see put that money. You know, you take $1,000. Now, $1,000 is not much money. Fella makes $1,000 in little or no time. These people that are working. But now, let me tell you, Mr. Boyd, they don't save $1,000. They may make it, but they don't save it, you see.
That's right.
If you take $1,000 where you have saved it and got it in your bank and you don't have to spend it, now that's one thing. And then just getting $200 or $300 a month, you see, and adding up $1,000, you still haven't got anything.
That's right.
All right, now they're just spending money on that equipment. And
right.
$2,500, Mr. Boyd, that's a whole lot of hay.
And if you got a bunch of cattle that's not in the right shape and the market's not right, or they're caged and not ready for market, and you're forced to take them off and sell them to pay a bill, you're losing money.
Yeah.
You can't go too far at that kind of rate.
Yes, sir.
And so, they don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And somebody else owns the property, and now he wanted to make a dozen geese. I don't know how many geeks. I told him I had some lumber over here that I was selling cheap, you know. And they come and look at it. Finally, when he got to, it wouldn't do him much good. He didn't hardly want to fool with it. And I saw how it was humming and hawing. Well, he can buy a steel gate for $16 a little better. I said, well, they pay you to go get your steel gate. I said, if you can't get the rest of the lumber, you can't treat it with creosote. I said, this lumber, most any lumber you can buy anywhere now, I said, it'll rot in 6 months.
Yes. Yeah.
I said, it may not rot all the way through from one end of a plank to the other, but I said, one end will rot off and the other one will be enough lighter than that, it may not rot, but it's you wouldn't get half of it out of it. It'll rot somewhere in the middle, or one end of it'll rot off. And I said, if you going to get gates, have gates to last you, I said, it looks to me like it'd pay you to get some steel gates or something of that kind, or some piping and wire and make you some gates. But he hasn't got time. And don't know enough about it, and no help, and can't get no help. And
no.
She'll advise him, and she don't know. So I imagine he went off and bought him about 15 or 16 steel gates, $16, or 8 or 10.
You suppose?
$16 a piece.
I haven't been over there since last summer.
That's the way I left him. That's the way he left here. I just advised him, go on and buy the steel gates, because I knew what it would mean. I figured they might have the money and ought to have it.
Yeah.
Old man Gussie ought to have pretty plenty, good little stake. I know he had it. And what's the use to buy lumber, mister, because it was a little bit cheaper, and it'd be rotting out in 6 months.
Yeah.
Have to duplicate it every year. Mm-hmm. There's some of mine, there's two down now. Right, John. Now, that last one they got up there is lasting twice as long as the first one, because they picked out the old hot lumber.
Yeah.
There's one across the road over there. They put that there when the road people did. and they never got nothing but sap. And it's been rotten down 2 years now. The last 2 years. No paint, but you can't do much paint and rough stuff. Like you had a spray and spray it on and put plenty of it on.
What's the weather going to do, Mr. Boy?
Well, it's going to have some winter before always. You see what I just told you? I was looking for a change.
Yeah.
You may not think it makes a world of difference and may not make such a great deal of difference. And she must ask you a half a dozen times, you ever heard from the timber man? You ever heard from the timber man? Well, I knew something. Mm-hmm. As soon as the second time she asked that, I knew something wrong. Franklin went to work and stopped that timber sale.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he could do that.
He'd get the timber and the land all for what the timber's worth.
Mm-hmm. You know, he's a big man. He's a big man.
Big man?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know. Well, you know, they have that way. One sawmill man don't want another to come in his territory and root him out of timber.
Yeah.
And that's all he had to do was to sit down and ride him or call him over the phone. You don't mean to come there and buy. I'm just on a deal to buy that place.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want you to come there and cut that timber off of it.
Yeah. Yeah, he just
could have told a lie and said I owed him some on it.
He just could give him a little high sign. That's all that'd be necessary.
That's right. So it's one of the crookedest deals and the longest drawn out messes, and everybody involved in it, and so many people involved, the whole courthouse bunch. And I even wrote to the state comptroller, and he denied every business to put up to me.
Mr. Boyd, didn't I hear you say that you had been down there at Mr. Guthrie's after he was sort of ailing?
Certainly.
And they would have to come in there and explain to him what they wanted the money for.
You are certainly. He had to let him know what she wanted with money, but it would happen right in my presence more than one time.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him go to the bank, First National Bank, and went there with him. I found him in there, and she couldn't come no further. She went, carried me, said he didn't go into the bank. She walked on up that way, said, I'm going up that way, and we were going up there together. She never went no further than the door.
Is that right?
No.
And
so, anyhow, but he just won't die more than what he had to. Mm-hmm. But he got down and he had to have somebody help him run his business, and Marvin is a clever, good boy, all right.
Mm-hmm. He seems to be, Mr. Boyd.
I like him.
Nice fellow.
But if he hasn't ruined me on this hay deal, I'm afraid of the hay, Mr. I'm afraid that if they happen to get enough of those old prickly pear in their throat, they call me lose several of them.
I don't know about that.
Well,
I wouldn't want to be feeding it.
Yeah, I tell you one thing about it, because I've had the experience. If one of those thorns sticks in your leg or somewhere, it has a tendency to want to go clear through you.
Yeah.
And you can't pick it out. You got to take something sharp, real sharp knife, and I'll shave over this spot 20 times to try to pull it out, and then maybe it wouldn't be out.
Hmm.
Sharp knife to try to catch it and draw it out of there.
Well, you know, Mr. Boyd, $32 and a half delivered is pretty cheap.
That was that. Yeah, I wasn't complaining. I was ready to jump at the price. Close by and everything, and be sure to get it, like the shape the dollars in. But there's not so power much palmetto, but the grass was too old, and then them things in there, if they don't kill your cows, well, It may take a good long time.
Mm-hmm.
You get several little thorns trying to swallow. I don't know how they shun them out there on the ring. They know how to stay off of them.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're mixed up in the hay, they swallow any of it.
Good.
They might get in this.
Yeah, I want to look at that hay sometime. Just
if it goes in his stripe, well, I wouldn't worry.
Yeah.
So much. Because they swallow nails.
I want to see just what you've got.
And brass tacks and all them kind of things. They don't kill them.
Yeah.
It won't hurt him in his stripe so bad.
You know the best.
I don't want to say nothing much about it. You're the only man that I've breakfasted to. I'm just waiting to see you, and I'm trying to eat him. Might call it the cow. And then the cows may just stick around to it, though, and not eat them. But I don't find many of them where I feed because I can't see.
Yeah.
But I just happen to put my hands on them, and I got several of them thrown under the barn out there.
Yeah.
And if I get too old, white cakes all over with me, I haven't got another word to say, but just know better the next time, if I can. But I wouldn't have done that with anybody else.
Yeah.
I don't call it quite an honorable deal. The boss knows it in there, because the first deal I put my hand on, I stuck a right onto one of those old cactus.
Yeah, when you was putting it out, you can't miss them.
No. He never breathed it. And I talked about cactus, because I was being bored with them myself. I went out there and tried to feed up some blind. Did pile up them and burn them up, but I got in the mess before I knew it. I had to quit.
Mm-hmm.
There was a spot of them out there.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do for them, mister. I got a spot of them over there where I am.
But the only thing you do is to dig them up with a hoe and burn them.
Is that right?
We've been over that already once. They're kind of sticking back up there. Well, if you chop them with a chopper, why, you kill them maybe. A lot of times, it's a dry time like it's been this year, you'd have killed out the most of them.
Yeah.
But there'll still be maybe a piece hanging, it'll come on.
Mm-hmm.
But the old cactus, you know, it's got enough moisture in it to make it
Hold
good for a good while.
Yeah, it don't take much moisture.
I see a woman got one of them things over yonder, bigger than this, larger than this table, stands up that high, right in her yard. I wouldn't allow that thing to stay on my place.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry. I'm afraid of that.
Get out of the
bread.
And I done went to them and told them, if they looked like they're going to fall down, well, I'd give them their money back.
Yeah.
I want to say
it. I don't, from what you said, I don't do that for them. There's too many out there.
I don't know anything about what they feel.
No, just wish them the best.
Well, I heard other people say the same thing. Keeping things my mind looked like once something just as good as they ever did.
Yeah.
The thing that ever happened back yonder, I just know that just like I had studied nothing else.
Yeah.
Well, now you see all that whole road in the Hawthorne and the Turner settlement over there and all like that.
Yes.
And what you were saying about Mr. Guthrie down here, you say he leased a whole batch of land from those paper companies.
He didn't explain it. But Mr. Myers, Mr. Guthrie wasn't a very wise, witty man. I don't mean to throw up on him and say he was crazy enough at that time.
Uh-huh.
He was as close-fisted as anything you ever saw.
Yeah, he always was.
Always was.
Oh, I saw, yeah. Well, now, you see, I didn't have that straight. I thought you meant that after he got down and was ailing, that he got close-fisted, you see. That's what I thought you meant, so I just wanted to get it straight.
You thought, you say, after he got down that he wasn't...
Then he got close.
Close.
Yeah.
No. He always was just that way.
Uh-huh.
He's close as a bark on a tree.
Yeah.
And he was very slow about talking the most of his time. And just like a man that tried to study between and digest every word, but he just wasn't quite brainy enough, and you know, them kind of people's kind of hard to figure out, and make up his mind and about business too quick. But whenever he did, he studied for his own benefit, and if there's any way for him to figure out where he could make a deal that'd be something in it for him and not be worsted, why, he'd do it. But he had to give it a thorough good consideration before he made a trade. He didn't jump at nothing very quick, and that he already knew. And he wasn't a fine financier, nothing like that. He had some land over there that's pretty good, and at times he would make a good crop and on it and make you think that he was a good farmer, but he couldn't versify and grow very many, a variety of crops.
Uh-huh.
And he's just about the same way about cattle. He let the cattle take care of the sales.
Yeah.
That's what he done mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you know, that's not wise. There's times that it would have paid him off well to care for his cattle.
Yeah.
And if he could have got out and hustled up and met people and traded and sold at the right time and improved his stock a little, why, he'd have been way ahead of what he would. But he just sat back and sweated out.
Mm-hmm.
He sweated out what he got, and he had taken plenty of time to study it all over where he'd make that deal, but with them people or not. But you know, there wasn't anybody else much, and he had cattle.
Mm-hmm.
And they want somebody to be there to look after that land, and they planted trees on a lot of it, and I don't know what they have in view, but then it sounds like you ought to know too. It'll take a lifetime, but someday it'll be a regular forest.
Yeah.
Timber, and the timber is what they're after, and so he could get it for pasture.
Yeah.
He didn't have enough pasture for the cattle that he had. If they took it away from him, that's where he shined, is pasture in other people's land.
Mm-hmm.
And so he didn't have no pasture. He couldn't support the bunch that he had.
Mm-hmm.
But he saw it was going to get out from him, and maybe somebody else would take it. And when he got the price down to where he saw he could lease it,
mm-hmm.
get a good long lease on it or something other than had cattle, and he could, it'd pay him to do it in a very small rent. I know he can't be paying no big price for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, now that's what I didn't explain that to you. Now, Marvin, he's already agreed to keep up gates, and they went through it and cut fire lines, ditches. I haven't been over it. I haven't seen a bit of it harder, but he's got to do a certain amount there. Now, them gates, he must keep up them gates. And again, he's got to come to a certain specification. And I don't think they want a gate less than 16 feet wide.
Oh.
Listen to that. And all such as that. And so you see, that's the reason why he's getting it cheap, because he's got to kind of keep the property up.
Oh.
Keep it well fenced and all like that. And he's very likely promised to bulldoze land and sow seed. Well, you see, next thing you know, it'll all be in the regular best kind of grazing grass.
Mm-hmm.
And before this, it was just in tie-dye bushes and wire grass and gallberries and such as that, a whole mess of it.
Yeah.
So they're released of that trouble.
Yeah.
A whole lot of it. He's already done quite a bit of it, and he'll continue if they have the money. Don't go broke like you said there. That woman's liable to make a mess a miscue of things. Well, now, what I told you was that, that was correct, Mr. Boyd.
Was.
Yeah.
Well, about the what they paid out.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It might not be hurt them.
It won't do them any good.
It won't do them any good much. No,
especially with a season, a hay season like they had this year, you see. They wouldn't make enough hay to, if they just sold all the hay to make the payment.
They were equipped or knew just how to make that hay, but neither one of them was not equipped to do it or something of the kind. You see, they were just caught with the britches down on that. They had to do something, so they just turned loose $2,500 to be able to do anything in the hay bid.
Yeah.
And they need hay. They've been buying hay for the cattle and the fairs.
Yeah.
His son's been sending hay here to him.
Oh, really?
So.
Now,
if they get well equipped and get enough land seeded and can fertilize it and know what to do with it,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how much hay they'll be able to, where to find market for it, because there's so many people into it, you know, in some kind of a way.
Yeah.
But, you see, Frankie over there was buying hay, and he bought all his hay except 6 tons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he grazed all his hay.
Mm-hmm.
This year and had good luck to save it. Sometimes the weather could be so bad that the whole lot of people lose out.
Mm-hmm.
And he saved it last year. He just took a notion he'd go and fall short, and he went off and bought 6 tons from a fellow that he knew had to do a right smart running around to find it.
Yeah.
But he got 6 tons.
Yeah, it wasn't much this year. And what to watch, you don't know whether it's worth bringing home or not, like we're seeing.
He found 6 tons over here at Wilson, the man he knew. Maybe the man that cut his hay.
Uh-huh.
And you see, he raised hay himself, I reckon, and then not only that, he may take hay for a lot of times for the cutting.
Yeah.
And so he's lucky to get that 6 tons.
Yeah.
They went clear up yonder to this place where I've been buying my hay, but they've quit somehow or another. And that Keystone Heights place. But they're fixed.
Mm-hmm.
They must be fixed. I haven't been there to visit the place, but they did have several thousand head of chicken laying here. They run the poultry business.
Yeah.
And nothing beats that poultry fertilizer, you know. A little sprinkle of that on the ground amounts to a whole lot.
Yeah.
And they just haul it out there, and they could cut their grass 4 or 5 times. Maybe was cutting it too much in one season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the very best of grass, because it's coastal Bermuda.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, they really cut that. Well now, at one time, Mr. Guthrie butchered some of his own cows and sold them that way.
Yeah, he done that all along.
Uh-huh.
He either sell them alive or he butchered them and sold them.
Yeah.
He punched them to market. Sam Turner done the same thing. Has to get orders, you know.
Yeah.
Do it on order. And they take a beef a week or 2 beefs a week. And
yeah.